Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, host of The Big Story, Canada's longest-running daily news podcast. For 6 years now, we've been telling one story a day, every one of them about something that matters to Canadians. This spring, though, we're going deeper. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt, the inside story of Ontario's Greenbelt scandal. From political games to stag and doe parties, endangered species, RCMP investigations, and Las Vegas massages, you will hear the full story straight from the people who broke it. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt. New episodes every Monday starting April 22nd, and you can get them all by following The Big Story wherever you get your podcasts.
Find your frequency.
Controversial subjects with the facts can be tense, but we are a sub-science here to make things make sense.
Today we're talking about our favorite science of the year, our favorite cultural moments of the year, as well as, you know, our resolutions and what we're looking forward to most in the coming year. 2023 has been a banger, slash maybe it was a flop. We'll be discussing that and reviewing, you know, side note, Wrapped.
Wow. Good job.
Trying a new style.
Yeah,
here.
That was interesting.
Why?
Well, I don't know. I was just like, let's say it was like, we want to reflect on the, you know, science of the year. And I just like, we just spent 10 minutes before behind and be like, how do you pitch that? And then you did a good job, but it was like, you did go through all the different ways. Just like, still just like, yeah.
It's my curse to be like, okay, I have to include everything.
No, it was good. Cause it's like,
well, that's what, like, our pod is. It's a mix of science, it's a mix of culture, and it's a mix of looking at the future.
And it is like, I don't know about y'all, but I don't know. 2023, okay, 2023 was good, but I always get sad around this time of year, so it's hard for me to end the year with a bang.
Every end of year sucks, and I think something that helps, like, we were reminded of something that happened a full year ago, and I think that put into context of us, like, there was a lot that happened this year. Sometimes it feels like the year escapes you, and I can't tell if you're on your phone or what you're doing.
Oh my God, sorry. I was looking up my list of things from the year.
Oh, sorry.
God, like, I'm just like texting my family. No.
But I think maybe by the end of this pod, we should give a rating if 2023 was like a bop or a flop.
Okay. So my question to you off the top was, what was your top podcast of the year?
Top podcast? Okay.
Yeah.
Like, for me, the ones that resonated with me was the one on perfectionism. I enjoyed that because it was like interesting to look into something that growing up I was told was good and was like a thing that you want to be. And then to like look at the science behind it and be like, people who have perfectionism have a mental disorder and are less happy. It was a little bit shocking.
Also, what I found interesting about that was the procrastinate. Like, when I think of perfectionists, I think about people who are like CEOs and like, you know, heads of companies. But then when in that episode, we realized like those aren't perfectionists.
Yeah.
Like, the CEOs are actually
people who are
like,
willing to make mistakes.
Yeah, they're willing to make mistakes. They're willing to like
pull the trigger, make decisions.
Yes. And I didn't realize how like debilitating perfectionism could be in the sense that it's linked to how I also thought it was like a quote unquote good thing. But some people could be perfectionists and then they don't even accomplish anything because they're just like completely crippled with like indecision or thinking. And it's sad because it's like perfectionists in my head have a lot of talent.
Totally, yeah, because they like become obsessive over certain things. There's a brand new Hidden Brain episode that came out this week that touches on perfectionism, which I thought was really interesting, and how perfectionists often, when they dive into something, focus only on the things that they know they will do well at. And so that ends up cutting so many things out. So like, and I can relate to that, where I'm like, if I don't think I can do something well, I'm just not going to do it at all. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to be compelled to do it. But even within a field that you are really good at something, what they notice is like perfectionists will often micro focus on details of things that they're already good at to get even better, while sometimes neglecting other skills they could be building because they're not as good at those things.
Oh, interesting.
And so it like ends up narrowing you in a way that's like not always very good.
Do you relate to that? I feel like you do lots of things.
It depends. Like, I guess it depends on the context. Like, the guy in this podcast was talking about, he was like a professional diver or something, and he would like hyper fixate on like the run up of like the diving, and then he ended up doing so many less dives because he was like focused so much on getting his like, I don't know, something like that on
there. So he was in a little Speedo and he was hot.
Yeah, he was told like, oh, diving is for nerds. It's like all the people who aren't like fast enough or whatever. Like,
what? It's like, if there's one thing I know from the Olympics, it's that diving's for gay hunks.
Well, often gays don't feel welcome in sports.
They're not. I don't even think they're gay. It's just like, well, you're wearing a Speedo. I remember like, now we're side noting, like broad daylight summer Olympics, just like in my basement being like, 2 p.m. like, I guess I'm just gonna go edge and watch diving.
I never got like super into diving.
Edging, that was another great episode.
Oh yeah, so yeah, we had lots of sexy episodes.
Do you have others that were your faves?
I actually really liked Love Languages, even though I think the conclusion was like, they don't exist. But, and I know people like that one too, because lots of people listen to it.
Well, it wasn't necessarily that they don't exist, it's that they need to be re-updated because the man who created them was a little outdated, and that, yeah. There is value, almost like astrology. There's value to talking about yourself and your morals and your, like, there's no reason to shit on avenues towards a deeper conversation.
Yeah.
And that maybe there needs to be some adjustments, for example, like finances, mm-hmm. and like, you know, I felt like
finances.
Yeah. One of the like updated love languages was about whether or not you cared about money and being spent on you. Like things like that, where you're like, that is interesting and valuable.
It's broader. Yeah. I think it's like always an interesting conversation around labels. And I understand why some people are like, labels are bad. They like restrict you, but they also allow you to attach to things that help you understand yourself better sometimes. So like, do you agree?
Yeah.
You understand? Does that what I'm saying make sense?
Yeah. Sometimes. Oh my God. There's something about you today where I'm like, you're sometimes. Just looking at me and you're like, what?
The way Greg looks at me when he's listening looks like I am literally speaking another language.
No, because I have resting like
what are you, is it
Neanderthal? Like, I just, my face never, I know people do this to me. They're like,
I could not tell
okay?
if you were trying to like signal me like you're not making sense. No, that's like a weird thing to say.
No, I was just listening.
Obviously panicked and was like, I'm not making sense. No, I have often thought about labels, even labels of like sexuality, like being like, I'm gay or queer or bi or lesbian or straight. And I understand why some people are like, labels suck. Like, they just like force you to identify something. But sometimes I feel like labels can help you understand yourself.
Yeah, especially someone like you who's indecisive.
Yeah, they like help to box me in because I'm a limitless phoenix, ultimately. But without knowing I'm a phoenix, I wouldn't know where to fly or what to
do. And love languages, the like consensus scientifically was that they are important for you to know what your partner's is. That's like what the study said, is that it helps your relationship if you know your partner's. Because at least they're giving you an indication of what's going to make them feel good.
Right.
And so it wasn't that they were non-existent. It was just that they aren't necessarily this like be all end all.
Well, it's a little similar to like personality types, right? Like ultimately there's no such thing as a personality type because people are constantly changing. There are some personality tests that like are a little more accurate because they remove like the heavy bias that so many have. But I think it's kind of like that where you can use it to your advantage in the sense that you can learn about yourself and reflect and think deeper, but you're doing the face again.
No, I'm not. Oh my gosh, stop.
But ultimately it's kind of like easy. not easy, but like people sometimes get tricked into paying for things around personality tests.
Yeah. The one thing about personality tests we learned is it's like they're literally scams. Do not pay for them.
Except for like that one. But even then, I can't remember if it was free.
Yeah, it was free. It was like just enjoy it and like literally just do astrology instead. It's the same vibe.
Do you have favorite episodes?
Yes. Well, Ozempic, because it was the year of Ozempic for sure. From a scientific perspective, if you think about like science stories, like the amount of times we had to just explain Ozempic to our friends and family because everyone was talking about it. I think that the podcast is where we really got into it, and it was just like,
yeah, this year a fascinating drug, and people are still talking about it. I feel like it's not quite as in the zeitgeist, but I still hear friends talking about it.
And because now the science, and I want to do one in the new year, is like realizing that it could be an anti-addiction drug. Like they're realizing now that they have people taking Ozempic en masse and studying them, it has other like implications that I think could be really promising. Like it's just, it is sadly like if like you were like reflecting in a textbook, like it's the year of Ozempic for good or for bad reasons. I think the most famous reasons are it's like celebrities just like
becoming skinny.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's just like, yeah, like Kelly Clarkson skinny and everyone's like, oh, Ozempic. Like it created such a zeitgeist moment that like maybe she's like extremely dieting and like doing other things. But it's like if you got skinny quickly in this 2023 year, and you're rich, people assume you're on Ozempic, which is really interesting because I think last year this time, no one even, if you said Ozempic, they'd be like, did you throw up? Like what word like was that?
When Adele lost a bunch of weight, it was like pre-Ozempic, right?
Yeah. And what do you mean?
Well, people were just like, oh, she must have like changed her.
Oh, like if Adele had a big weight loss this year,
everyone would have assumed it was like Ozempic.
And honestly, like those LA freaks, they've probably been on it for like years. So like she could have been.
I have no idea. I'm not trying to like put a judgment on Adele. I just mean that happened like a few years ago or a year ago, right? Like, I feel like her reveal where she was like suddenly
lost. That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like interesting that that wasn't. If it had happened this year, that would have been part of the conversation.
I liked a lot of our sex ones. I liked the edging one. I liked the ketamine one, which is linked to sex drive.
Is there any specific science that like stood out to you this year? I'm trying to think
Drive one and like horniness. Just like the sort of science of how like our phones and our addiction to social media and the dopamine hits are also affecting our craving of like sexual desire, and although sex drive is potentially like, I just feel like sex drive is an interesting thing. Like it's decreasing in some aspects because people are maybe getting too much stimulation from porn and not getting horny in real life. But then at the same time, there's a lot of people dealing with hypersexuality disorder because they're like on like Instagram has become like a porn device.
It really
and like
has.
So has TikTok. Like I feel like there is for young people, and I include us in this, people on the internet, a weird, like, I think it's affecting people's brains and neurology in like a sexual way that is like fascinating, that is going to change a lot of people's lives and now and in the future. And it is literally TikTok and Instagram like pushing the lines of.
Do you think we're going to see anytime soon bigger backlash towards social media?
I don't know. We've been talking about this, well, however long Side Note's been on, like seven years. Yeah, if you go back to the original.
Do you think?
Yeah, it's like literally social media addiction is one of our first episodes. So,
but it was actually so different then. Like it's interesting to think it's the same problem. It was. Like TikTok didn't even exist.
But it was, if anything, it's just extrapolated. It's not gone in any other direction other than
it's
more
worse,
intense.
For sure. But it's funny how it's different where I'm like, oh, that cute like 2016 internet was like barely addictive.
Yeah, I was like addicted to like a cartoon like meme that was like a pun.
Yeah, like a picture.
Yeah.
And we were all like, we can't get enough of it.
Although Vine was a long time ago and that was was
like TikTok.
And I was scrolling Vine and was blown away by its like immediacy. And like blown away that they managed to fall apart because it was sort of like, this is so captivating, funny, created so many stars. Like it was that was a long time ago. And I think it had the same.
I just can't figure out if it's like negative enough that we're going to come to a head at some point with social media or
like to be regulated.
If we're just like old enough to care. Do you know what I mean? Like, but there are so many studies that are like young people are depressed at like way higher rates than ever before recorded and like struggling like with happiness.
But it would be hard to be like, oh, that's social media. If that's all you've ever experienced, you would just maybe not be able to understand that it could be that.
That's what I mean. That's what makes me nervous that it won't stop. But then at the same time, you see things that have been pushed back on and regulated, like whether it's smoking. And I know that's a very different thing than like watching something. Like it feels... And smoking can impact people around you. So it's like easier to regulate something that you could hurt other people with.
And there is sort of like a Gen Z like celebrity like Olivia Rodrigo who's like, I don't have TikTok because I'm trying to be off my phone. And like Emma Chamberlain getting rid of her TikTok because she's like, I can't be on my phone. I'm wasting time. Like there are young celebrities who that's kind of like their story.
And that has maybe that'll impact. Yeah, like maybe... younger people will rebound towards
or it
that.
Means that they're not completely oblivious if like someone like Emma Chamberlain's like I just need to read more books. It's like okay, so it's not like a millennial thing.
I don't
thing.
Mean that anyone's oblivious, but I guess I was just thinking like are we going to come to a head or is there like enough pressure behind fixing this or not that it's just going to like become a bigger and bigger problem forever?
Yeah, it's a good question. Like
we're so in the thick of it right now that it's not like we're hearing a big call to regulate it or like help people.
It is
the
sad like Telso textbook like of our larger time. People will be like, and that's when humans were addicted to their phones. And it's like, ugh, I don't want to be alive during that shitty textbook time. Like obviously, there's going to be other things like.
And or we're never going to look back and say that because forever on, people are going to be addicted to
No, but I do think that the technological advancements of the early 2000s to now are unique in what we'll be known for. Even if they keep advancing, people will know it's when the internet was created.
Started, yeah.
Like the internet is going to be the crux and spine of our
But don't you
life.
Think one day the internet's going to be like old news? Like how radio waves are old news, but they're still around. But like no one's like, and the radio is making people go crazy still.
I don't know. Because the internet is so a part of like AI or driverless cars or any aspect of future technology that like even solar panels, like green energy, they rely on. Like the internet is, I think, not going to be old news, but it's going to be old news as a new and novel concept. Yeah. But I do think it is the backbone of like every technological advancement, almost in the way that like understanding biochemistry or like microorganisms are the background of like all of medicine. Mm-hmm. It is a fundamental
part of our concept, human lives now.
Yeah, that is extremely unique, but is not, it's attached to everything in a way.
It drives me crazy. I know we talk about this so much, but it's just like, does anyone out there have a solution to stop using our phones? So
literally
much?
Like July 19th, one of our podcasts, smartphones, are they changing your body? It's like, I like that one. It was about like how we're like hunching, our thumb nerves are getting messed. Our brains are changing and like are literally becoming hypersexualized. So yeah, no, I know.
Looking
it's like
at our podcast now.
It's like
too,
leave your phone in another room. God,
that's the only
it.
Solution is to not have one.
I know. I also really
my
like
my favorite quote that I made up. Phone is chips. We've talked about it here before, and I'm addicted to chips. And so if chips are in the house, I'm gonna eat the chips. And the phone is in the room, I'm gonna use the phone. But it's actually way harder with a phone because chips is like one identity, one use, and a phone is like infinite use almost. Yeah. Like. I've been trying to like work on some music and I was like, oh, but if I'm on a walk, I want to be able to record audio notes. Cause often it's when I'm like doing nothing, not
you
listening
need, like,
to something.
You need like a little recorder.
I know. But that seems crazy to be like, okay, I have to buy all these, like, I need to buy a calculator and I need to like, oh, what are all the things I am excusing myself to use my phone for? Yeah. Because I'm like, oh, but I actually do.
Duolingo needs like a big,
separate, like, give me like a toy, like Duolingo, like a kid's little fake laptop. That's Duolingo.
It was also the year of, like testosterone supplements, like breathing, like Huberman,
true.
Like men.
Huberman had it was his
year,
year
of like daddy optimization of and daddy the optimization of your body bled into every circle. It felt like
this
it
has
used
been
to
a
be
long
a bro
time coming,
thing,
though.
But now it's like my gays, my girls, like everyone's sort of like. Trying to figure out how to quote unquote like live longer or
and
like
be
optimize.
Faster, better, stronger in
or
like
third wave
every...
medicine, like making sure that you live so that you're healthy longer, not like just going to the hospital because you're sick, like that book outlive. Like I feel like that was a big part of this year. I assume it will continue into next year, but like things change rapidly. And it's like how much information about breathing and like there supplementation will always can be, though.
Like I think that as much as it's ramped up has been a common thread for like decades of like people constantly trying to find the next new way to improve yourself.
So know what I think this year's was? It was hormone replacement therapy, hilariously, for like straight guys who are like anti-trans. But it's like there was a lot of like, okay, if you need to go to your doctor, you need to get hormone tests because a lot of issues in your life might be related to either low testosterone or high testosterone. This is for women and men. Mm-hmm. Menopause had like a huge rethink around like whether or not we can just use hormone replacement therapy to help women cope with. I feel like there was a lot of like, I bet doctors are constantly being like, oh, someone's coming in asking for like a hormone test. Mm-hmm. Like it feels like there was this weird like biochemical wave. And I literally think it's Huberman. And like,
well, that, I mean, I also think more and more that's been coming for a while as well, because there's a lot of like gadgets and stuff that now proclaim to help you measure things like instantaneously that can connect with your phone. Whether that's something you might sleep with, whether that's something like a sugar, what do you call it, like a glucose monitor on your body. Like,
yes, yeah.
People
yeah.
are more and more doing like wearables that track you. And so people are starting to think like, I can like track my oxygenation in my blood and that can help me figure out, like, even when we were like we were with someone recently who was like talking about, oh, like based on my little heart monitor thing that I wear on my watch, I can tell if I'm about to get sick because my VO2 max or something like some weird variable that they were like, a day before you get sick this changes. And I was like, is that real? But they were like, yeah, like, oh, it was their what's it called, like something to do with their heart rate variable heart. Okay, never mind, I forget. But it was just interesting to think about how people of all ages are like identifying with this and being like, how do I like hyper focus on my diet and my exercise and how I work and how I'm productive. I don't know,
but it's a different way. It's not about like, a lot of people still want bigger muscles or whatever, but no, it's about this concept of living healthier longer. Mm-hmm. Has taken over. And I think trying to blame fatigue or things that people would have just dealt with before, like on something.
Or didn't deal with before, because we're in like a way more intense, fast paced world.
Yeah.
And we're on screens 24/7 that we're like tired
yeah.
from it. But we're like, why are we tired?
There's like so many people so many people I know got hormone like tests this year.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't. Did you?
I didn't, but we know who they are. We don't need to name
I don't know who they are.
Well, I do. I'll tell you after. And it's like everyone you know.
Do we want to take a little break?
Yes.
And
okay.
Then come back. And I feel like we have lots of other science as well as cultural moments we need to touch on.
And predictions, babes.
And I want to talk about resolutions, both like,
oh God,
the idea of it as well as like what we're thinking for the next year. And
oh God. What y'all should be thinking.
Okay, I'll take a break and we'll be back.
Masterclass makes a meaningful gift this season for you and anyone on your list, because both of you can learn from the best to become your best. From leadership to effective communication to cooking. Whether you're watching Masterclass on TV, listening in audio mode, in the app, or on their site, the quality speaks for itself. How much would it cost to take one-on-one classes from the world's best? Easily hundreds to thousands of dollars with a Masterclass annual membership. It's $10 a month to get classes from 180 plus instructors. One of my favorite classes that we've taken so far is Learn to Manage Your Relationships with Esther Perel. I got into her podcast. This class was amazing. It was like extra information, almost like private therapy. Mitch and I did it together and we learned a lot. It was awesome. Yeah, a lot of personal things came out. We will talk about those probably on the podcast sometime soon. So this holiday season, give one annual membership and get one free at masterclass.com/sidenote. Right now, you can get two memberships for the price of one at masterclass.com/sidenote. Again, that's masterclass.com/sidenote. Offer terms.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Apply.
So, and we're back.
Oh, wow. Oh,
what? Wow.
No, I just forgot. I was like, oh, I'm recording. We've never done a like break like that.
So wait, so you
want
to talk about pop culture moments? Like, you mean like our Barbie episode?
Yeah, I was just thinking like, I don't know, this is a little year recap. Most of our podcast is just going off on tangents and talking about
The Last
about
of Us, that was a scientific.
Okay. The Last of Us was something that made me feel like this year was long because I was like, that feels so long ago and irrelevant now.
True, but at the time
it was like so fun and I felt like everyone was watching it and it was just like a fun.
I hated the ending.
Oh, yeah, but it was apparently true to the video game.
Oh, whoops. Okay.
Do you think it's sad to care so much about
what
media and pop culture? Like I know I said this the other day, but I'm most looking forward to next year, The House of the Dragon coming out.
Yeah, like Mitch had a question.
Is that sad?
Yeah, Mitch was with our friends, and it was like, what are you looking forward to? And they all started talking about their life and stuff, and then Mitch kind of was like, gulp, was like, I meant like, I'm just most excited about House of the Dragon. I don't think it's bad. Like, you know, we're gay.
Does that mean culture, I don't have much going on?
Well, we don't. But being gay, pop culture is like innately important unless you're just, you know, an alt gay who loves Twitch streaming or some shit. But actually, that is pop culture. But like...
and you're an alt gay.
No, but I love pop culture. I'm saying like, who are the gay guys that are like, oh, I don't really like pop culture. It's like, so you hate yourself. I'm kidding. I'm just saying that like, God. It's okay for you to like care about pop culture in the future and this year. Cause I just think being gay, it's like just a part of it.
But mine are never like that gay. Mine's truly
The House of the Dragon is like, it's like queens and dragons. It's gay.
Oh, like, I guess that's gay, but it's gay. Like, it's very straight as well.
It's not. It's like, isn't it like girlies
yeah,
and nice
actually,
dresses?
Yeah, actually, this like, season I'm it is like the girlies like, are going after
yeah,
each
no,
other.
Yeah, no, like, I'm just like, it's gay.
Well, obviously.
Every form of media is gay.
I was so excited about Zelda that came out this year.
That's also kind of gay.
I don't know if that's
I have
gay.
No idea why, but I'm just like, I mean, of all, like, if like someone, like guys walking down the street and they're like, what's your favorite video game? And they say Zelda. I'm like, he probably wants me to blow him.
Oh,
more than
God.
It, more than it being like GTA or like, I don't know. I don't even know. Like those.
Yeah,
like,
that's fair.
All those other ones like Halo. Okay.
I hate you so much.
But you know what I mean? Like Zelda is like, again,
softer.
There's gems. There's girlies. There's cute guys with butts running around. I don't know.
Gems like rupees.
I don't know, like there's like it's like it's
there are
colorful.
Gems too actually. Yeah, you're right. You know the game.
Like you cared about The Last of Us, pretty gay, you know, like the whole storyline with the girls gay. You cared about Barbie gay. You cared about Zelda.
Yeah, we
gay.
Still didn't see Oppenheimer
because we're gay, like there's just certain things.
But we're also science gay. It's actually funny we didn't
well
see that.
To be fair, okay, I love Christopher Nolan. This is the straightest thing I've ever said. I love Dunkirk, one of my favorite movies. Actually, my story about Dunkirk is like the biggest bro from my high school saw Dunkirk in front of me, like by coincidence. And I was kind of just like, oh, there's the bro from my high school. We leave Dunkirk, a Christopher Nolan war movie. I'm so excited to bond with him because I've actually completely moved and blown away by this artful film. I got to him, I'm like, oh my God, Dunkirk was so good. So good, eh? And he was just like, I didn't really like it. And I was like, you're gay. Like, I was like, what? Like, after all these years of me trying to fit in, I finally like Dunkirk and you don't? Yeah, gay. I love Christopher Nolan, but there was something about Oppenheimer.
Do you love him?
I mean, like, love Memento. I love Dunkirk. I think it's one of the best movies ever made.
Oh, wow.
I hate that magic one. No offense, because you love it.
He's
up and down, like Prestige or something.
Oh my God, you hate that?
Yeah, I do.
Hate?
Yeah.
Greg, it's an amazing
I know,
film.
I know. You know. I'm saying with Christopher Nolan, I love
or hate.
Or I don't like. And so the fact that the reviews of Oppenheimer were so
mixed,
and a lot of people I cared about being like, it's truly boring. I was like, well, I don't know if I have 3 hours in the middle of summer to devote.
Yeah, that's fair. I would like when it comes out. Is it out? Like, I'll
but
watch it
But then there's
at
that
home.
Whole thing with Christopher Nolan where you're like, is it even worth it if it's not in the theater because it's so loud? But then I also heard it was too loud. You couldn't hear. Like, it's just like, and women are portrayed horribly. Like, there's, you know, like, I didn't see Oppenheimer and I'm not that upset about it.
No, that's true.
Even though he's made some of my favorite movies.
I still got to watch it, I think, at some point.
Yeah, we will.
I guess, like, going back to my question, though, is like, now, for example, that, not to bring it all back to Zelda, but I'm like, sad because I had to like wait like 6 more years for another one to come out, maybe.
Oh, you're talking about, and I'm just looking like, forward to things?
Yeah, and I'm like, how do
Well, you're still playing Zelda. Just keep playing it.
I know, but I'm just about to beat it, and I'm so scared.
No, I like know, aka The Read, one of my favorite podcasts, they are just keep playing it, even if they beat
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but I'm like, I noticed with the last one, after I beat it, I stopped playing it.
Okay, well
anyways, I'll take a
break. Then don't beat it.
But I mean, I'm trying to think of other things that I'm like looking forward to.
Well, why can't it be about your own life or science?
That's what I'm thinking about.
Know what I'm looking forward to? The complete fall of Elon Musk. Like, I just feel like nothing is going well. Everyone's recalling, people are recalling their Teslas. Like,
yeah, I think when I looked that up, it was a software update they just have to do. It's called a recall, but they're not, you don't have to bring it in. You
but still, he's getting in trouble. Everyone's like, this isn't an autopilot. Like, you can't even call it that anymore. Like, the things that he is most renowned for are even falling for him. And I just feel like there's been some interesting profiles I've read this year. Like, he's going crazy.
Yeah, he's
crazy. I really have had a hard time with him, even in his heyday when like every liberal person was like, he's going to save the world. I was like skeptical. So I'm excited for the continued fall.
Mm-hmm. No, it is actually quite satisfying.
But I feel bad because I'm like, I do want some serious climate changes, but I want them to be bureaucratic and I want them to be government on top of industry, not industry saying they're going to beat the government.
And then not doing anything.
Which is, like, he's just the epitome of.
Just like focusing on
being
capital.
Being like, I don't want to be regulated. I don't want to pay tax. I'm going to move to Austin. Austin's going to fall too. Okay, whoa, what am
is
I
it?
Saying? No, it's just like, it's becoming, Austin's no longer weird. It's like extremely corporate. Because a lot of people are going there like to not have to pay tax. It's becoming the new Silicon Valley.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Not that I'm like looking forward to the downfall of Austin and Elon
Lost
Musk.
Lost another demo.
but there's something about this coming year when I'm predicting, and like, I just think he's going to have an even harder time. And
Yeah, he's like a villain I can get behind, like brooding against.
I know, but it just feels like it's still
And
hard.
Good God, if we have to keep hearing about Trump, I'm like, just, I don't want to deal with that election. Also, I don't want to deal with the election here in Canada. So, like, we're just, actually, let's avoid that.
Well, at least, like, it could be it's 2 years out, right? So, 2024 can still be a sleigh.
I don't think it's going to, 2024, you're saying.
Yeah, like, the elections
like,
in Canada.
No, but I think the American one's next year, isn't it? I don't know. Who cares?
Moving on!
I don't know, like, what other things happened for you this year?
Oh, God, don't say that.
Why? We called it our semi-retired year because we got to go, like, travel a lot this year, which was
nice. That's true.
And I think I'm ready. But what I did learn, I would say, is, like, that we've had a lot of fun and I am excited to, like, hit the ground and
traveling
work
is,
harder.
Won't fill any holes if you're like us who, like, have ample opportunity and are looking for it to fill holes.
It can. But
temporarily.
Fill holes is a weird term. Like, traveling is a really amazing experience and can be awesome, but like, I don't think you can. Yeah, it's not like you can't just have that be your temple, if that makes sense.
Or I feel like the idea, this is another thing from this year, was like the New Yorker article about like why traveling is like dead or whatever. It was like really funny. But what I think is the idea that traveling, you go and you come home and it's like your life's changed.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've traveled too much for that to happen anymore. I think it used to happen when we would be working
so
hard and then we would get a release and then we come home and it would be like, oh, wow, like it makes me think about how everyone's so different. Mm-hmm. But now it's sort of like it does fulfill me. But the second I get home, it's lost. It's like staying power.
Sure. Yeah,
it's like I'm immediately like, oh, God, should I go somewhere else to be stimulated? Like I don't keep what I've learned in the same way. Or we've traveled so much that we haven't like... It was so interesting.
It's harder to be culture shocked once you've like traveled.
Yeah.
A bunch.
And like the internet makes it so easy. I'm literally a travel agent. Like my friends call me Debbie. Like I am so good at using my phone to organize and travel and like
book
it's like,
things. And,
it's like, it's just like, and it's like fun for me. But then it's like, there's like no, I'm never lost. I'm always 1 meter ahead of you on my phone, knowing exactly where we're going. If anything, like, traveling is probably more fun for you because I'm a full-time travel agent for y'all.
Oh, yeah. I just get to, like, blindly wander and follow you.
It is. Yeah. It is, like, maybe it's on me. I need to figure out why I always need to be a meter in front of everyone on my phone knowing where we're going. That's something I have to figure out. I have to get lost.
It's more. Impatience.
I'm extremely impatient.
Yeah. Okay. Should that be a resolution?
That should be an episode because I need to know more before I can make a resolution. Yeah. How do you make a resolution about being impatient? Like, I'm going to stand in more lines.
I don't know.
I'm going to, like, if I stand in lines, I'm going to, like.
Yeah. No, we should do an episode on that because I don't. Yeah. It'd be interesting to learn, like, what can you do?
And where does it come from? I mean, obviously parents. Hey, mom and dad.
Everything's their fault. Yeah, but it is like, what is that anxiety?
You're not impatient. You're very patient.
Yeah, I think so.
In like a psycho way that drives me crazy. Because I'll be like, we don't need to stand in this line. You'll be like, no, we do. It's like, we don't.
Yeah, but then what happens? Greg switches the line and his goes slower.
That has.
And then I'm just like, see, you can't know which line is faster. Yeah. So just like deal with it.
It's a serious issue in my life. Wow. Okay. So next year there will be an early or in the year, there will be a side note podcast with lots of scientific information about impatience.
Well, part of me thinks like, is there science?
Yes. Yeah, so there'll be psychology about it. There'll be a lot of studies on it for sure. There will be. As an impatient person, I know that other impatient people as we grow old are aware of it, that there's ample impatient neuroscientists and psychologists who are like, this is going to be my PhD. Because it is like it's a very obvious personality trait that a lot of people have. Mm-hmm. And I can see it in a lot of people. Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, we talk about all these things like changing them will change anything. It's like, then I'm not impatient, but I'm just happy in every other, unhappy in every other way. You know, it's like, you can't win.
Yeah, we're definitely in our, like...
I'm in my existential era, but maybe I've always been in that era.
You, Mitch, you've always been in that era.
Not always.
Yes,
maybe since I was, like, 23.
No, the second I met you and you were, like,
I was existential. 20,
you would be, like...
You met me when I was 18, by the way.
Okay, but you'd be, like, reading Gandhi and being, like...
That doesn't mean I'm existential.
But you were always...
And I was not reading Gandhi.
And you were always...
It was the Dalai Lama.
Oh, shit. But you were always like... That's what I liked about you. It was like, oh, you're like... You'd want to talk about like, why are we here? Like you added like a philosophy
Yeah, I've been interested in philosophy and spirituality and even like
that's
religion.
All linked.
But yeah, it might be linked. But my like existentialism now is not... I guess it's intertwined with that, but it's not the same to me. Like it's a different kind.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think, and I just wonder if other people feel like, I know a lot of people do feel this, but I mean in general, like
you got a lot of success and you got a lot of money and now you're existential in a new way. Cause they're like those things that you put value on don't actually matter to you. And you thought they would matter more.
Yeah. I guess that's
not
fair.
To completely read you to film.
I guess I'm just trying to figure out like what to do with my life and like it sounds like it's not
do
coming.
You got anyone listening to this is just like they're fucked.
Yeah, for sure. But if they've been here this long, they already knew that.
Yeah, I guess they know.
And here we are talking about this again because people often message and being like, I related to that, and it makes me feel good.
Well, yeah, and like so many YouTubers and people in our position are just like, okay, we're getting another 10,000 million. It's like, how are they so motivated? Why does it just feel like we're the only people on YouTube who are like,
we're not the only people. I'm wondering about other people and how they feel about, well, I've lost my train of thought now, actually.
Sorry. How they feel about what?
Lost it.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, you should be.
Wow. Oh my God. No, I was impatient. Yeah. Or something. No.
I don't know. I just wonder, like, if this is a growing phenomenon because of the like the state of the world, also giving a lot of people a lot of anxiety.
Feeling a little
as a result.
Malaise.
Yeah, and like I know I'm lucky and privileged in like so many ways, and that my version of this may not relate to everyone because I know a lot of people also feel this, but because they're like seeing the struggle of like so many people, like the widening gap of the middle class, and
it's hard to not.
And be like, what's the point? Like so many people are, I think, are asking, like, what's the point of working so hard when you're like struggling so much?
Yeah. And the world is struggling.
Yeah, there's so much like turmoil and we're stressed about climate change and this earth's falling apart. Like I know that's like a negative view of it all, but I do think more and more people might be kind of feeling this, like, what am I doing this for? And I don't mean this in like a depressed way. Like maybe I've gone through darker times in the past, but right now I'm not saying like, oh, it's not worth living. It's more just like, what should I be doing? Like, what is the point?
Yeah. I think you need to figure out what you want more than true. Other like people need to figure
that's
out.
That's true. Like, I think you it's don't partially know because want. Like, yeah, we've done like what I wanted with ASAP Science. I feel like we've done, and now I don't want to like stop it. I think I don't want to let it go, but I maybe need to find
yeah, this
a
podcast
new thing
is
to chase
like
after.
The only thing that we like about it right now.
It's not true.
Sorry.
But it's this is the most fun part of our job. And the other parts are more repetitive. That's all.
Yeah. And we need to figure out if we want to do them, how to bring in a new level of creativity.
Yeah. I think that's what's missing. Once you do anything for long enough, it just becomes a little bit autopilot. And I hope that's actually the problem, because I sometimes feel like, oh, it's like not, like it's hard to chase something when you don't have something you want really badly.
Yeah, I know. Although you've always wanted things more than me. I've always, you know, you're right. But I feel like that relating to wanting things, I've always admired about you, or I've always been like, whoa, he really wants something.
Well, then I wonder, like, so when you don't want something, and for those people out there who are like, oh, there's nothing I really want, and I'm just like, fine. You're just fine. You don't have to think
well,
about it.
Well, I was for a long time, but then not now. Like, not in the last, like, month and a half.
Because I'm so jealous of people who are just
no,
like,
no, I honestly was good at that, and I always remember thinking that about you, being like, why does he want so much? Like, I'm fine. Like, but it's worn out. It's worn off, and I'm becoming... I'm like, I don't know what I want. I need to want you. Something. I'm wearing
but
like
I'm
depression
trying
pants.
To do the opposite. Wait, what? You're what?
These are like the pants that YouTube gave me.
Oh,
like,
truly?
Well,
people are often like,
those.
Greg, where did you get those pants?
And that's when I'm like, y'all don't have good style, because these are my depression pants. Like, these are...
They're truly covered in like the most disgusting
they're
stains.
They're disgusting. I mean, they make my ass look thick. It's like one thing I've noticed. So it's like, even though they're my depression pants, at least I can turn around in the mirror and go... That ass. But they're absolutely disgusting. I've biked in them so much that the dirt has
it's
come
like
up
mud.
And it looks like I just shit my pants.
Oh,
like,
my God.
And I remember when they gave them to me, I like laughed and was like, I will never wear these. And then I find myself walking all over Toronto.
Those are your most worn
in
pants.
Like in the winter, just being everyone being like, so he's in third year and he is just like, you know, doing the like
in a small town.
Small town
in Toronto.
Third year like student who's just like grabbed who has like a big exam coming up because he's just wearing his PJs. And it's like, no, I'm 35 years old and I'm just depressed.
I feel like I'm like on the precipice of a wave of motivation.
That's
not quite here. Yeah, I hope. But I think everyone kind of feels that in the new year. I'm hoping it's real. Because, you know, like the new year, yeah. A, like we're going to have like a week and a half or a couple weeks off. And so it feels like exciting to get to that. And then you're like, and I have time to like, what do I, it's endless possibility. What do I want the next year to be? One thing I was saying to Greg recently, and maybe this will like resonate with other people. Recently, I've been feeling like, actually, there's so many things I want to do. I was thinking of possible resolutions. Like, I really want to continue to learn Spanish. I want to get back into piano. I want to write more music, both like play classical music, but like write contemporary music. I want to, what are the other things I want to do? I'm forgetting.
Girl, I don't know. You want things, you tell me.
Anyway, I want to like get on Survivor.
Stop saying girl.
Oh yeah, I think you should stop saying that. Yeah, every time you say it, I'm like, problematic.
Oh,
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Problematic. It's just like basic.
But I've been thinking like, oh, there's so many things I want to do and there's not enough time because half like whatever X amount of time my day is working and then I'm tired at night and where do I fit all these things? And I had to like
you have to
slow
want
down.
Less.
Not want less. I thought, what a wonderful thing to want to do lots of things. And I have the rest of my life to keep trying to do all these things. Like, okay, another one's like fitness. Like, I want to keep working out and I want to like go to like the Zen temple and do that more regularly and like meditate and stuff. And so I often feel like, ah, there's all these things and like, there's no way I can do them all. But now I'm kind of like, it's okay if you don't do them all immediately. Like,
yeah,
I can find a way to do a little bit at a time, choose the ones that are the most exciting now. But for me, like, because I have a lot of like temporal anxiety, like anxiety over time, like running out of time in life and even just like in the daily life of like, there's not enough time to do the things I want.
Tiempo.
Trying to chill a little bit and just be like, that's a good thing to want to do lots of things. Like I still want to learn.
Yeah.
I learned guitar a little when I was young. I'm like, I want to do that. You know, like there's so many things I haven't tried, but I guess I have my whole life for it. Okay. Is that helpful at all? Or is that weird to say? I was just kind of like feeling
no,
that. And
I
then
know.
I was
think
like,
it's helpful for you. No, it might be true. I'm like,
I didn't mean helpful. I just meant like, for some reason, I felt like sharing that because I felt like I've had a lot of anxiety about that for years, feeling like, oh my God, all these things I want to do, I'm neglecting most of them. Huh. Like these ideas, like I want to write a musical as well, you know? And I'm like, I'm so far behind.
No, but you have, no, it isn't. It is definitely a nicer way to look at it for sure.
Yeah. Like what a great thing it's just to be like, I have stuff to do until I'm 100.
Yeah, no, that's true. My worry is that then I wouldn't do it. That's all.
Oh, like I still feel like, okay, if you want to do it, you have to put some action into it, but it's like, it doesn't.
Maybe, I'm also impatient.
Maybe because I'm a perfectionist. So I'm like, if I can't put 8 hours a day into it, it's not worth my time. Yeah, no,
that is like max perfection. You're actually insane. He was like, you know what I realized? I think that maybe learning Spanish will be hard. And I'm like, yeah. And you're like, because I was kind of like, I'm not going to try anymore because if I can't learn Spanish and be fluent in a year, then what's the point? And I was like,
I didn't say what's the point.
Well, like you were alluding to, I'm like, yeah. Like when I think about learning Spanish, I'm like, it's a lifelong thing and I'll still never know it and then I'll die.
I didn't mean what's the point. I just meant I'm so keen to be able to speak with people in Spanish.
But you might like, and, I'm just
and
like,
it feels overwhelming and sad, but I'm like,
yeah,
I know I may never, I know I may never like get to a certain point, but I'm still so much farther behind than I thought I would be.
Yeah.
I'm like,
every time I
literally
listen to
can barely speak
a Spanish song that I love, I'm like, okay, I'm going to try and translate this. And then I'm like, they said, but at one point, pero.
I was going to say, let's talk about, well, I wanted to ask you your favorite album of the year because.
Album or albums? Don't.
You have to, well.
What?
You have
album?
To pick, you have to pick maximum three because I know Greg's obsessed with music and my favorite albums of the year are all from decades ago.
Okay, 100 Gex.
Okay.
1000%.
Was it a good music year, do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Oh my God, album. That's really hard for me.
Okay, I thought.
No, I can do it, I can do it.
Okay.
Fade.
Like.
Spelled F-E-I-D.
But that's
also
not
known
the album. Is that what his album's called?
No, oh wait, do you want me to know want me to look what they're called?
Yeah, people can check it out.
Oh, okay. Well, 100 Gex is called, like, it's got, like, their album's called, like, 10,000 Gex, which is, like, really confusing. Yeah, so their other album's called 1000. Their name of their band's 100 Gex. Their last album, which is incredible, is called 1000 Gex. And their new one, which I thought was even better, is called 10,000 Gex.
That's so good.
Wait, that's amazing. I've never really internalized how much of a troll that is.
Yeah.
Also, their concert was amazing. I, like, soft mosh with a bunch of queer people who would like come and mosh me and they'd be like, I love ASAP Science, and then like push me and I'd be like, oh, I'm home.
Oh my God, a mosh pit is truly my hell.
Okay, but this was like a queer, fun, like,
but anyone
truly soft
in
mosh
a claustrophobic pit. Environment?
No, it was like literally like at one point like someone like tripped and everyone was like, she tripped, space, let's all make a big circle. Okay, she's okay. And then it like kept going. It was like honestly, like, at a certain point, it was like, maybe like we're all being a little bit fucking gay. I'm kidding. Okay, now I'm embarrassed because the Fade album's called More No Le Temas a la Oscuridad. And it's like, don't even know what that means. Mitch is like on your Spanish game. But it's so weird because his name's like Fade, F-E-I-D, from Medellin. But then sometimes he's Ferxo. And like, I've talked to Spanish people and been like, I love Fade. And then they'd be like, I've never heard of it. And I'd be like, oh, weird. And then they'd be like, oh, you mean Furcho? And I'd be like, what?
Well, so, maybe one is his actual name.
Yeah, I think Fade's he like his stage needs name to figure that out. And then the other question is whether SZA counts as this year because it came out like late December.
Yeah, but so many people included that on their album of the year.
Absolutely incredible. It's sad because I really like the Rosalía and Rauw Alejandro album, but they're divorced. And so it's kind of like all about their love. And every time I listen, I'm like, oof.
Well, that was three.
Okay, damn it. I could keep going. But then I guess. And so, no, what's not on it? Bad Bunny, and that's sad.
Oh, that is
also
sad.
Olivia Rodrigo album is amazing.
I really liked that one, actually.
Guts. The Peso Pluma album I loved. The Romy album.
Aren't you going to make, I feel like every year you make a little like Instagram story of your favorite songs while you dance to them, right?
Oh, yeah.
You so just like get if you absolutely want, high. If you want and then like, if you go to Greg's Instagram, you will see him blue in the face high dancing to his top 10 songs or whatever at some point leading up to the new year.
I was like thinking about doing that and I was like, good God, that's embarrassing. But like, I'm like, but I'll do it. Okay, so my favorite songs of the year would be Doritos and Fritos by 100 Gex.
Okay.
Ella Baila Sola by Peso Pluma. Although Aya Bailey. So that's like she dances alone. Mm-hmm. She dances alone. I Believe by Caroline.
You're fluent.
By Caroline Polachek, which.
No.
The song I Believe I love. It's about Sophie, the like amazing DJ.
I only said no and producer. I feel bad, but just something about her.
We're allowed, as gays, we're allowed to have an opinion on this woman. No, she's extremely, I think she's extremely
hit or miss
overrated.
For me.
Yeah. But this song is really beautiful. It's about Sophie, the producer who I love, dying and just like how she'll see her again. And it's like an amazing song, a standout song. Nobody Gets Me by SZA. Danamos La Amistad, Carol G. That's another album that's really growing on me. Ugh.
Okay. I think I'm we need to wrap this up. But I think
you're not allowed
to
go through my tongue.
No. Okay, go to Greg's Instagram and you'll see this.
You ended right before I was going to say a Morgan Wallen song.
Okay,
so that's smart.
Canceled. Actually, do we want to talk about resolutions? I guess I kind of already did. Do you have any particular resolutions?
Oh my God. I haven't yet. One was I was going to steal from my friend, which is to stand up straight more.
That's good. If you
but I like really will. I'm extremely committed to resolutions and just like 2019, 2020, 2021. I did them all this year.
Well, because remember we told ourselves this year we weren't here at the beginning of the year. We had taken a big chunk of time off because we had a 10-year anniversary of ASAP Science. I think this year for us was like kind of low key. We gave ourselves permission to like enjoy the fruits of our labor. But going into this next year, I think we are like, let's have resolutions. I think it's important for everyone to remember like resolutions often don't pan out. But it is like the beginning of a year, the beginning of months, birthdays are times when it's like, you're more prone to like make goals, and that's okay. And that's like, they're hard to keep up with, but it gives you bouts of motivation at the beginning of every year.
I love resolutions. I'm pretty
good.
It's fun. I like blame astrology because like at the beginning of the summer, like I did astrology with my friends on the beach, like eating mushrooms, and it said, you just need to enjoy your summer because you worked so hard to get to where you are. So this summer is about enjoyment. And I literally all summer was like, well, I'm not going to do anything but enjoyment. And then here I am being like, what did I do all year?
Oh, goodness.
But yeah, so, and we were also going to talk about whether we think it's a bop or a flop our year.
Oh.
Because that's what was making me think about. So I think my year in theory was a bop because as I said, I listened to the astrology. I did what I wanted. I did all the things one could dream and think would be the bop. Mm-hmm. But then in the end, what it made me realize is sometimes when you think something's a bop, it's a flop. And it's what I have learned is that I could imagine a year that you think while you're in it's a flop could end up being a bop. Mm-hmm. Because
they
it's
often
like
say people's biggest challenges is when you, like a lot of people have really hard times in life that they'll say, I don't wish that away. Like it defined me.
Yeah.
And helped
so I feel like this year was about enjoying a lot of like extreme fun. And like, obviously people will be like, bop, 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 bop to the top, slip the sign, ride that rhythm. But in reflection, it's like, oh, I think I need to flop more to feel a bop.
Yeah. I think I kind of relate to that. Yeah. I think I was,
I didn't take enough
similar
risks to flop.
Yeah, it was like an easy year. Yeah. And I think in some ways that was a bop. I think that's what we needed. But I think it's important to just remember like life is ups and downs and busy and slows and like opposites always. And like it's good to have to be challenged on one end. And I think taking it slower was because we spent many years feeling overworked and overstressed. And it was like a chance to step down and slow down and like figure out, you know, have some rest. And not that we're like about to go crazy or something and like do a bunch of stuff.
Oh my God.
I would just mean like it's just a different perspective to be like, I would say I had a bop year. But I agree there's something that's like, okay, but I want to look forward to this year in a different way. I don't want the same year that I just had.
Yeah.
Which like is at least exciting. It'll be a different year.
So we're going to take a couple weeks off and then we're going to come back and it's going to be about impatience, cock rings.
2024
or resolutions, we'll see.
How wild.
Yeah.
2000.
And my prediction is Elon Musk is gonna fall further. And that's my only real science prediction.
Okay, well, we hope you all have an amazing end of year and we'll see you in the new year.
Peace.
Hold up.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.